The first two pieces that we want to discuss today in the Meshech Chochma for Parshas Tazria are about Leda, about birth, and that's how the Torah begins Parshas Tazria. And I want you to take a good look at Pasuk Beis. The Torah is going to differentiate here between a woman who gives birth to a male child or a female child. And you'll see in Pasuk Beis, the male child is called Zachar. And in Pasuk Hey, the female child is called Nekeva. And if you fast forward to Pasuk Zion for a moment, you'll see again, as the Torah completes this parash, it says, Zos Torah Sayoledes La Zohar Ola Nekeva. Once again, Zohar and Nekeva. The Pella here is that in Pasuk Vav, it says, Uvimelos Yimei Torah Leven Olebas. Instead of Zohar Nekeva, which the Torah has been pretty consistent about that, all of it says Lebein Olebas. And that's kind of strange. So the Meshech Chochma points out here, that's Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Vav, that Ramaz Bazeh Shekol Shelo Avru Shloshim Yom Ba'odom Hareze Bechezkas Nefel. He says the following, that the terminology Ben or Bas is only appropriate once the child has passed its 30 days. Within the first 30 days, it's called a Sufek Nefel, and you can only call it Zachar or Nekeva. So therefore in Pasuk Vav, where it says, B'melos Yimei Tahara, and the Torah is telling and commanding her what karban she has to bring, which is called the karban yoledes, at that point, by definition, she's passed the 30th day since birth. Because in the case of a male child, for example, she passes Yimei Tahara at day number 30. In a case of a female, she has to wait a lot longer, but at least the minimum for both is going to be 30 days. So there's no way that Bimlos Yimei Tahara could be before the 30th day. So when the Torah is talking about the Oledes as an entity, so to speak, then it's Zachar or Nekeva. Zachar Nekeva could be even a child that's less than 30 days old, who's called a Sufek Nefel. I mean, we don't know for sure that the child is going to be healthy, Imritz Hashem, right, and viable until after it reaches its 30th day. So that's what he writes over here. Shalakach Omar b'melos Yimei Torah, which means after her 30th day minimum, az eno b'sofek nefel v'areyu ben obas. Now he has the status of a ben obas. Aval b'shas leda, at the time of birth, eno gak zachar, and we could add on the keva, shadayin sofek nefel hu. And all this is based on a Mishnah in Masechta Nazir, Kimoshe Shaninu Beperek Beis Din Nazir. And the Mishnah tells us in Nazir that if a person mentions Ben, the word Ben in a Neder, in this case it happens to be a Nazirus, then the Neder is not valid unless the child is viable and passes its 30th day. So you see that the word Ben is only meaningful after the 30-day period. So I find this Meshech Chachma very interesting, because you could miss the whole point over here. You know, you could read this parasha over and over again and not realize that all of a sudden, right in the middle of the parasha, the Torah changes its language. And al pi pshuto shel mikra, you wonder why the Torah would do such a thing. And that's what the Meshech Chachma was coming to explain, that it's only when the child reaches its 30 day, which is called b'melos yimei tara, then you could call it a ben or bas. Until now, it's only a zachar or nekeva. Now, let's take a look at the karbon that the oledes has to bring in this pasuk vav. It says that she brings two different karbonos. One is an ola, and one is a chatas. The ola is brought from a keves, like a lamb, which is an animal. Whereas the chatas is brought from a bird, from a yonah, or another type of yonah, which is called a tar. So we're talking about a dove, or a dove turtle. So she brings two karbanos at the end of this period, beyond her leida. One carbon is carbon ola, and the other is carbon chatos. Now the Torah tells us, later on in this parsha, that although ideally she brings an animal, as we said before, for an ola, and a bird for the chatos, but im lo timtze yada, that's in pasuk ches, she doesn't have enough money, day set, to afford a little lamb, then vilakha shtei torim, o shnei b'nei yona. Now she brings two birds. One bird for an ola, and the other bird for a chatas. So that's in a case of a woman who cannot afford to bring a behema, so she brings an oaf instead. But keep in mind, as far as the chatas is concerned, even if she's a wealthy person, she will bring a bird. She'll bring a yonah or a tar. So really nothing changes between a wealthy woman and a poor woman as far as the chatas is concerned. It always remains a bird. But what changes here is the carbon ola, that the carbon ola, instead of being an animal, a keves, it now becomes a bird. And she brings two birds. So what's interesting here is that the ashira, the wealthy woman, wealthy means that she could afford it, she brings two different karbanos. They're fundamentally different. The chatas is from a behema. I'm sorry, the ola is from a behema, and the chatas is from an oaf. In the case of an aniya, a poor woman, then both karbanos are the same. She brings two identical karbanos, both of which are karban oaf. So the Meshech Chachma writes the following: Yoledes Ashira Mevia Chatos Ha'Of. So, in other words, as far as the Ola is concerned, we said she brings a behema. As far as the Chatos is concerned, she brings an Of, and there's a radical difference between the two Karbanos. But once we get to a carbon ola v'yored, what we call a yoledes aniya, as we said before in pasuk ches, then the two karbanos are both karbanos of, and they're equal one to the other. Now, Rameir Simcha wants to know what exactly is the nature of a carbon chatas. You know, we're talking about a woman who gave birth. Why should she be bringing a chatas? And moreover, why is she bringing a chatas from an oaf, from a bird? We would have thought that if she has the wherewithal, her two karbanos, the ola on the one end and the chatas on the other should be exactly equivalent. And we saw that in the case of aniyah, that both korbanos are the same. So if both korbanos are the same in the case of aniyah, they should be identical in the case of ashira. And yet the Torah insists that the chatas be from an oaf, as opposed to a behema, which she will bring for the ola. But the ola and the chatas now are two different korbanos. So Meir Simcha wants to address this question based on a statement of Rabbi Shimon, which appears in the Gemara in Nida. And he says the following, Lefisha Karbana, what is the purpose of HaKarban Chatas, Kid Rabbi Shimon, like Rabbi Shimon teaches us in Masechta Nida? And to quote the Gemara in Masechta Nida, he'll paraphrase it in just a second. He says, and the Gemara says, "B'shasha koras leled kofetzes v'nishbas." No, she blurts out an oath. Shalotizdakek labayla. She no longer wants to go back to her husband. And the Medrash expands on this. It says, "B'shasha isha yosheves al mashbir huyomeres eni od eni nizkekes labali me'at." I don't want to go back to my husband. God says to her, there's a different plan here. Tashuvi lechukas ishech. You will return to the love that you have for your husband. Don't leave that love and that closeness behind. And the Medrash quotes Rav Brachya, Lefisha Rafafa Beliba, which means she had some thoughts that went through her heart, through her mind. And therefore, Tavi Karban Mirofafov. In other words, we wanted to bring a karban because she took this oath that she would never return to her relationship with her husband. Says Rebbeir Simchel, Kach Mevia Yonah. Now maybe we could understand why her karban, which is a chatas because she took this oath, is dafka from a bird and specifically from a dove. You know the phrase, love birds. Well, I guess in halachic terms, we would call it love doves, not just love birds. And he bases himself on a Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara says that if the Torah hadn't been given, and we wouldn't have had all the midos, we would have learned the midos from various animals. Tznius from a cat, gezel from an ant, and arayos from a yonah. And the Gemara explains that a yonah is the only creature that God created in the animal kingdom, in this case a bird, which is totally dedicated and will never leave its ben zug. Lekach mevia yonah lechata, says Rav Meir Simcha, an amazing chiddush, that why does the Torah tell a yoledes to bring her chatas from a yonah? Because a yonah is going to convey to her a message here that she took the wrong shvuah. She'eino maneches ben zuga, that a yonah will never forsake its partner. V'einin is kekes el ben zuga, and she will not have any sort of intimacy with another dove, only with her designated partner. So now we're at the point at which Rabbi Simcha understands why she brings a chatas ha'of. And we opened with the question of Rabbi Simcha, why the chatas is from an oaf, whereas the ola is from an animal. And the answer is the chatas has to be from an oaf, because the entire message and the reason why she brings a chatas and hears in the oaf, specifically in the yonah as the Torah specifies, because the yonah is dedicated to its partner. And she has to return to her partner. But now we have the question, well, what about the ola? Why is this yoledes bringing a karban ola? Ola is usually some sort of a karban that's meant to uplift a person. Why does she need an ola? And an ola specifically has to be from an animal. Says Rav Meir Simcha, vel ola, an amazing chiddush here, who kifi hanira, it appears to me, he says, achresha haisa asura lovel akodesh kol yimei ta'arasa. So such a long period of time has passed since her birth, and she had what's called tumas leida. She's not allowed to enter into the kodesh. She's not allowed to eat kodshim. She's in an impure state because of her dam. And now, at the end of that period of time, ba el hakodesh, she's allowed to return to the Beis HaMikdash. So this karban, which is called an ola, symbolically represents her return to the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Ubitodah l'shmo yisbarach. And now she has to express a gratitude that, God, you're taking me back into the Mikdash. Al shar sheba le'etana, she returns to her original state. Is that we have a precedent for this when the Torah commands us to return to the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what's called a karban re'iyah. 3 times a year, the Torah commands us to come back into the Beis HaMikdash and return home, so to speak, on the 3 festivals. And the Torah says, Lo yirah ponai reikam, when you're coming back to the Beis HaMikdash, you have to bring a karban with you. And which karban do you bring with you? You bring a karban ola. That's called an olas re'iyah. So it's unbelievable. This woman is celebrating her own personal festival and her own celebration. We celebrate 3 specific times of the year. We come to the Kodesh Baruch, we say we're returning to your Mikdash, we're coming home, and we're bringing a Karban Olas Re'iyah. She has her own personal holiday that she is celebrating, that now she can return to the Beis HaMikdash, and she too will bring a Karban Ola. And a Karban Ola, which is a very important Karban, is a Karban Behema. It's brought from an animal, and in this case she'll bring a Karban of an animal. Okay, let's move on. Again, there's a lot more here in this piece, but we have a lot to cover today. And I'd like you to open up the Chumash, in this case the Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Gimel. So let me just get the place over here. Okay. Now, what we're talking about is Negayim, which is really the main subject that takes up so much of Tazria and also Mitzora. And the Torah opens up the Parsha by telling us Adam Kiyeh Besar B'ar Besaro, and it enumerates various different kind of manifestations on the skin. And then the person who sees these very strange manifestations has to be brought to the Kohen. And in Pasuk Gimel, Vira HaKohen as HaNega, etc., etc. And then at the end of the Pasuk Gimel, it says Vira O HaKohen. So the Torah repeats itself, first opening with Vira HaKohen and then closing with Vira O HaKohen. And that's called kfelus, when the Torah repeats itself. And we always have to understand, since the Torah is very stingy on ink, why did the Torah repeat itself? And Rabbi Simcha opens with this question, and he says, Ein b'Torahs Kohanim. And the Torahs Kohanim says that both Vira'o HaKohen at the beginning of this Pasuk, and Vira'o HaKohen at the end of the Pasuk, both of these psukim are referring to the nega. And there are different nuances in what the nega looks like, how it appears on the skin, and therefore there's one vera'o that refers to certain negayim that on the top upper part of the body, and there's another vera'o akoing that refers to the other part of the body and requires that the Kohen see the entire perspective of the various Negayim. That's what it says in the Torah's Kohen. But then the next word here is V'yitachin. And those who've been with me for the Meshech Chachma appreciate the word V'yitachin in the Meshech Chachma. That's the way, in a very humble way, he says, and I want to tell you what I think. So leave the Torah's Kohanim for a moment in the back burners. You know, go look at it and study it. But I'm going to tell you what I think is pshat in this double language of a Roh HaKohen. And he says the following. V'itochen al derech razal, according to our rabbis, shakavana. In other words, the first part of the pasuk, the ratio which says v'roh hakohen, sheyires hanega imhu roi litame. Now, let's look at the nega and see if the phenomenon of some pathological appearance on the body manifests a re'uya l'tumah, something that he should be metame. So the opening v'roh hakohen. Es hanega. The Torah emphasizes es hanega. So he's looking at the nega, he's examining it, and the Torah is telling him that he's obligated as a Kohen to investigate the nega. Then the Torah at the end of this pasuk says, Vero ha Kohen, and Vitime also. Now the Torah leaves out the words es hanega. And Rabbi Simcha is going to come up with a radical chiddush here that vira'ahu, as opposed to ra'ah ha-kohen as-hanega, the word vira'ahu, and he shall see him, is no longer referring to the nega, but to the person. The opening ratio of this pasuk, the kohen is mandated to see and investigate the nega. So the subject, or I should say the object of vira'ah ha-kohen is the nega. Not so in the end of the pasuk, if you read it carefully, it's Verahu, that the Kohen should see him, Vitime Oso, not Esanega. And here the object is the person. And Rabbi Simcha says there are two dinim and two conditions in Tumas Nige Haguf. One is that obviously the Kohen has to check out the Nega and see if it manifests itself according to all the laws and all the requirements of a Nega, which the Torah spends a lot of time enumerating. But number two, there's another condition. The Kohen, Yira HaKohen Es HaIsh, Im Roi L'Tumaso, is he Roi L'Tuma? What does that mean? So Rabbi Simcha quotes a Gemara Moed Katan. The Gemara Katan says that the Pasuk says, Ubiyom Haros Bo. I think that's Pasuk. I'm trying to figure out which Pasuk it is. I'll show it to you in just a second as we get to it. Oh. So what does it mean, Biyom Haros Bo? Biyom Haros Bo. So Gemara Moed Katan says that the Torah is telling you that it has to be Biyom Hira Osbo. And that's a mute. Yesh Yom Shata Roebo. There are days in which the Kohen is licensed to see the Nega. V'yesh Yom, but there are other Yomim that are being excluded from this Pasuk. She'iata Roebo. So on what days is the Kohen excluded from looking at the Nega and therefore pronouncing this guy Tome? Mikan Amru Chasan, he's during his 7 days of Simcha after he got married. V'nolad bo nega, then it's not a Yom Shataroabo. Nosnim lo shiva yimei amishteh, we have to wait a full week, and then the Kohen could investigate the nega and determine that he's Tome. V'chein beregel. Let's say a person has a manifestation of a nega during Yontif. Nostim lo shivas yimei achag. We give him the entire week. Says Rav Meir Simcha, Im hu chasan, nostim lo kol shivas yimei amishtav. V'chein beregel, nostim lo kol yimos haregel. Shelo la'arbev simchaso. He's in a state of joy, and we don't want to undermine that state of joy. Udrachei adachei noam. And Rabbi Simcha employs a principle that he employs all over his commentary on the Torah, that the Torah's ways are pleasantness. And the Torah doesn't want to completely mar his joy on those days of joy. But Rabbi Simcha goes a little bit further. And he implies that it's not only on those specific days, as the Gemara and Moed Katan, that are excluded from Nega because of the Simcha, but those categories are really representative of a whole set that fit into Drachei Darchei Noam. Vira'ohu, and the second Vira'ohu in our Pasuk, that's Pasuk Gimel, Echu be'echuso. Check out the person. Forget about the nega. We've already checked out the nega. That condition has been fulfilled. We know that the nega is royally tome. But what about the echus? What about the state of being of the person? Imhu roy. Is he appropriate to make him into tome? Maybe you'll undermine his simcha. Or maybe he's sensitive for other reasons. And he won't be able to tolerate this tuma. And therefore, Zeu Shomar B'yom Hira'os, Yom She'iyata Ro'abo. And that, as we saw in the Gemara Moed Katan, Hu Inyan Mitzad Hazman. So there's a certain Zman which is excluded. Like, for example, we said Shiva Simea Regel. But Lo She'im Lefit Hunaso Tzorch Hischabrus Emanoshim, Chayotze B'zeh Ein Charo'abo. He says, if we only had the pasuk ubiyom hiraos, then we would say that there's halach in zman, that the zman is the zman asimcha, that's objective, based on the halach of chasan, who has 7 days of simcha, with many different halachic repercussions, based on the halach of simcha in regel, that's already a din in yom. And that's going to be derived from Biyom Hira'os. But here the Torah is saying, V'ra'o ha-kohen, l'fi echus ha-adam, imu roi, is he roi? Because if yesh l'tfi t'chunaso, if hin is his psychological state of being, if I could add that to Rabbi Simcha, tzorech is chabrus im anoshim, he desperately needs to be together with in the company of other people, v'chayotzei bazeh, or other situations, ein charobo, stay away from him. So it's unbelievable. According to Rabbi Simcha, there are really three halachas here, three preconditions for tumas negoim. Number one, v'ro ha-koinis ha-nega. Number two, we have biyom hira'os, and certain zmanim ha-mufka from re'iyas ha-nega. Number three, v'rahu ha-koin, and check out his echus, and see, is he in a very fragile situation psychologically, and therefore he desperately needs to be bischabrus im ha-noshim. He cannot tolerate being isolated and being called a mitzora. And now we move on to number three for today. And that's Yud Gimel, towards the end of Parshas Tazria. Perek Yud Gimel is a very, very long perek. And we're going to take a look at Pasuk Mem. V'ish ki yimaret rosho, if the phenomenon, this pathological phenomenon, manifests itself on the top of his head, then there are various dinim. If he's a kereach, then tar. If he passed one of yimoret rosho, then again he might be tar. But if it's bekarachas and it has the following colors, karachas means the forehead, then v'ro hakohen v'hine se'es hanega, etc., etc., and then ish tzaruahu tomehu in posik mem dalid. He's an ish tzorua, he's a mitzora, and yitamenu hakohen berosho, berosh nigo. So Meir Simcha has a Gemara in Sota. The Gemara in Sota says that at the time when the various categories of capital punishment were implemented, there were four categories. So the Mishnah tells us in Sota, that's called Mida Keneged Mida. And each one of the four Mises Bezdin fit the crime, relative. However, today we don't have Mida Keneged Mida. But the Gemara tells us, B'mida lo batel. Even today, in the absence of capital punishment and a Bezdin, a Sanhedrin, etc., nevertheless, we have something called B'mida lo batel, which means that somehow the punishment has to fit the crime. And Rav Meir Simcha wants to take the Parsha of Negayim as a paradigm example of Mida lo batel. And he says the following. There are two categories of Negayim here in this Parsha. One is called Nigei Batim, where there's a manifestation in the house, and the house has to be destroyed. And the other is Nigei Aguf, Tzaras Aguf. And he says, what's B'mida lo batel with regard to Nigei HaBatim? He says, Al Kimutz. Kimutz means when you close your head, you're tight-fisted. V'tzaras ha'ayin, and you don't want to share with others. Ba nigei batim. And the punishment here fits the crime. Because the Gemara tells us that as part of the parasha of nigei batim, we have to destroy the house. But before we destroy the house, we have to take out all the kelim, the utensils from the house. And what happens is, with this public display of the utensils that he had in his house, people are going to realize that when you came to borrow something from him, and he said, I don't have such a kli, that was a big bluff. So we destroy the house, because this house is a house of tzoros ayin. V'chayotze bazeh, and there are other different violations of midos tovos that also deserve nigei bat. But v'yima nega, let's talk about nigei adam, where we see the mida lo batel with regard to nigei aguf, and he says the following. Number one, birosho, right? What we started with here is that he has a nega on his head, on his forehead. Why is that fitting for the crime? And the answer is mishum shu mishubash bekoach haseichel ubiyadias zoros. He has something intellectual about the way he thinks that's distorted. That's called mishubash. Lachein ba'at saras bekarachto. What is karachto? The forehead. Makom hamachshava umishkan haseichel. So we're going to get back to this in just a minute, but the Meshech Chochma makes an important point here, that this whole parasha that opens up with Karachto, that he has a nega on his forehead, that he becomes Tomei, that's a Mida, b'mida, because he was guilty of Shibush HaSeichel, of Yedios Zoros, of foreign thoughts, of intellectual ideas that are antithetical to the Torah. And therefore he gets punished with a tzaras on his head, the place which is the Mishkan HaSeichel, where his intellect is. But im chata shalo, im chet shalo hu b'midos v'kochos ha'nefesh o b'pe'ulos, the Gemara in Masechta Erchin gives us a list of seven different types of chatoim for which negoim come as a punishment, and most of them, except for one, are Bekochos ha-nefesh, you know, he's a liar, he's a cheat, he's guilty of shvichas damim, and all sorts of other sins, whether they be unethical, immoral sins in the ethical realm, whether they be actions that he does, bepeulos, is that's what it means, al shiva dvarim nogim negoim boy. But us, if it fits at least six out of the seven, eino miyuchad acheit mitzad koch haseichel, those six out of seven categories of sin that bring about negoim have nothing to do with the intellect, hamisyached bo ba'adam, that makes man very unique, because man's uniqueness in the animal kingdom is that man is endowed with intellect. But lochein im chato b'koch sichlo, once he has an intellectual sin, az hanega berosho. So all the negaim on his body are indicative of various flaws in his personality, in his heart, in his legs, because he runs to do an avera, other parts of the body which contribute and now manifest these pathological signs as a punishment for those kinds of negaim, because the rest of the body is common to both human beings and animals. So all these actions and so forth and so on, that's not what endows man with his gulat hakoteret, as we say, his beauty and his crown, his glory crown, is his mind. Lo kenim chata b'koch sichlo as hanega b'rosho. Now we're on the list of the seven in the Gemara in Erechin, seven sins, seven categories that bring about nigei aguf. Where do we find the seichel? I looked over the list. You'll see it here, by the way, in a footnote if you're interested. Footnote number 3, Rav Koopman quotes the Gemara. And I didn't find any chet shebeseichel. And here's where Rabbi Simcha comes up with a chiddush. On the list of seven, you have something called a naim ramos. And it appears in a slightly different form in the Medrash. And the Medrash calls it Magus es libo, you know, as he feels himself to be superior to others. He says the following: Gasus haruach, when a person thinks he's great, he's very conceited and arrogant. Zeu hataaja b'seichel, the source and the root of conceit, is in his mind. And he fools himself and he misleads himself into believing, into concluding that he's greater than others. And Rabbi Simcha says, I'll prove it to you. Because the Gemara tells us that from Gasas Ruach, we end up with Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is the worst kind of intellectual sin that you can imagine when you believe in other gods. Kmo Shenemar, V'ram Levavcha V'Shachachta, a pasuk in Dvarim Perek Ches. And that's going to be the case of a person who sins in his mind, and the appropriate punishment is going to be tzaras in his head, in his karachto, which is the makom and the mishkan of the seichel. And he goes on to talk about Uziyah and the psukim at the end of Tanakh, in Divrei Yomim, that they describe his machshavos ros and idolatry and so forth, and it says Hatzaras Tzarcha b'mitzcho, and the pasuk testifies that he was stricken with tzaras on his metzach, on his forehead. Says Rav Simcha, Makom haMachshava. So Machshava is the koach hamyuchad ba'adam. Says Rav Simcha, now we begin to understand why the Torah opens this entire section with the word ve'ish, and ends it again. So Ish is in Pasuk Mem, if you have the Chumash in front of you. And then if you fast forward to Pasuk Mem Dal, which is the end of this unit, it says Ish Tzaruahu Tameh. Why the emphasis on Ish? Because here the Torah is addressing the Chet B'machshava Meshubash B'koch HaSeichel B'yidiyah Zoros. And that's why he's going to be stricken with Tzaras on his head, because that is Midah B'midah. And now we do Parshas Mitzora. So for Parshas Mitzora, I have for you one fantastic piece. And you'll turn to Vayikra Yudalid. And if you can open up to Pasuk Nun Aleph. The Torah says, with regard to Nigei Batim, let me just open up the Chumash for myself here. So we're in Yud Dalid, Pasuk Nun Aleph. Also a very long chapter. And the Torah says, where is it? Yud Dalid Nun Aleph, just give me a second. Lokach etz eitz ha'erez ve'ezo ve'shniyat tolas et tzipra ha'chai ve'tovos ha'vedam adam v'gam chayim ve'hizal ha'bayis sheva pa'om. So he needs hazor on the bayis. what is Hazah on a bias? Why are we doing this Hazah on the bias? Hine says Rabbi Simcha, Remez Gadol B'Dover Shebibatim HaNegahu Al Tzaras HaAyim. You may remember that we said before that the punishment fits the crime, and the crime here is that he takes everything for himself, he's not interested in sharing and lending. Kida'ama Gemara B'Yuma Yud Aleph Tanya Hanegoyim Boyim Al Tzaras HaAyin. And therefore later on, if you take a look in Pasuk Lamed Hey, it says Asher Lo Habayis. A little bit earlier it says Asher Lo Habayis. What's the Lo Habayis? The emphasis on Lo. So Tanya Dbei Rabbi Yishmael Shemiyached Bayis Lo. The word Lo means that this bias is his bias. He owns it, he possesses it, he's not willing to share it with it. She'ena rotza lahashil kelev lacherim, it's lo habayis. Don't you go near my possessions, and even if you need to borrow them, I'm not interested in lending them to you. The Omer, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch is mefarsem, that you're telling me he says he doesn't have this kli. You know, you come to ask for a vacuum cleaner, you know, oh, I don't have a vacuum cleaner. But we'll see that you do have a vacuum cleaner, because when we, after v'hi's al habayis, and we destroy the bayis, we take the kelim out before we destroy the bayis, kishim afanis beso, hey, look at this guy, he does own a vacuum cleaner. V'lekach mazal ha-mashkov. He says, what's the significance that the Hazah has to be on the mashkov, which is the entrance into the bayis? Laharos, share the messages of the Hizah. Hizah is a Tara process. Shetei beso pasuach l'ramim. Open up the entrance to your door so people could come in, like the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos. Ubi Adam? And what is the tzaras on the Adam, on the body of a person? Ba'al Lashon Hara, V'divrei Leitzanus. The Gemara has a whole list of various sins that bring about Lashon Hara, that bring about Tzaras HaGuf, and primary on the list is when he speaks things that he shouldn't be saying. That's why this week's Parsha is a very good time to read the Chofetz Chaim. Asher Aleihem. Now, once again, according to Rebbe Simcha, we have to learn certain lessons from the Tara, and that process is something that conveys a message to the Chote that the reason why you need this Tara is inherent in this manner or method of purification. And he quotes the Gemara Ksubis. And the Gemara Ksubis is going to explain Pasuk Yudalit. If you take a look at Pasuk Yudalit here in this parsha, it says V'lakacha kohen midam ha'osham v'nosan ha'kohen al tnuch ozen hamitaher. He has to put from the dam on the ear v'alboen yodo, and on his right finger. What message is being conveyed to the Mitzora? He says that the Gemara says in Ksubis, Etzba'osav shel Adam domim liyesedos, that the fingers are shaped like pegs, like little wooden pegs. Shem Yishma Adam Dover Sheino Hagun, if people around him are speaking things that he shouldn't be hearing, Yachnis Etzba'osav Latoch Ozno. So the two main factors here are the fingers and the ears. That when it comes to Lashon Hara, you shouldn't be involved in hearing Lashon Hara. If somebody is speaking Lashon Hara in your presence, don't just joke about it. And don't just say, oh, I'll be silent. Make sure that you don't listen at all. And you have to put your fingers in your ears. Lakach, and therefore, mazal yado, and you can add v'al ozdo, shel ha-mitzora. And that itself is a message to the mitzora that he was guilty of Lashon Hara. Then Rabbi Simcha tells you, "Kol ish nilvav, a person who's hartzig, you know, he has a good heart. Yakshiv l'noam musar shel Rambam. Listen to the beautiful words of Musar that the Rambam gives us at the end of Hilchas Negoim. You know, the Rambam very often in his Mishneh Torah leaves a little bit of Musar, ethics and philosophy, for the end of that section. And the Rambam has a very long piece of Musar here. I don't know if we have time for it right now. I'll just give you a little bit of the highlights. And the Rambam says that after going through some of the phenomenon that you'll see, the Kohen sees and declares that he's a Mitzora, he says, these are all Shinuyim, Bibgadim, Bibatim, Biodom, Shekara, Torah, Tzaras, the Enovimim Hago Shel Olam. The Rambam says this is not natural, it's not a pathological phenomenon in nature. Ela Os, Upele, this is something supernatural, Shahoya Bisrael, Kede Lazira, Miloshin Hara. And the Rambam says, Amasapra Loshin Hara, his Mishtanos Kiros Beso, the walls of his house change, Im Omed Barisho. If he continues, then Mishtana Oro, his skin will change. And the Rambam says terrible things because of Leitzonis and Lashon Hara. Val Inyan Zeh, Mazir HaTorah V'Omer, Hishomer B'nega Tzora, Zochres Asher Os Hashem Elkecha L'Miriam, Baderech, Hisboninu, says the Rambam, Ma'iro L'Miriam Anevia, Shedibra Bachea, Bachia, Shahoisa Gidola Mimenu Vishonim, Vigidlosal, even all of her love and the respect that he, Moshe, would have for her as the oldest sister, and she puts her life into danger to save it. And Moshe Rabbeinu is not even makbid about the things that she says, for Ish Moshe Adam Be'od, Afal Pikein, he says, Miyad Nensha Bitzaras, Kavachomer L'Bnei Adam, Arishoyim, Atipshim, Shemarbim, L'daber, Gedulos, Gedolos, V'niflos, Is L'fichach, Kol Misha Roy, L'chol Misha Rotzel, L'chavein, Orchosov, L'srachek, Miyashivosom, he should stay away from those people who sit around talking Lashon Hara, V'l'daberimon, don't even speak to them, Kedosh, Kedesh Lo Yitopes, Ha'odam, Bereshes, Harishoyim, V'sichlusom. And the Rambam goes on and on and on how we have to stay away from these Bali Lashon Hara. And now we're up to the main punchline. Vehine says the Meshechach mi Lashon HaGemara be'erchin dal shivet dvarim negoyim boim al Lashon Hara al shvichas damim al shvua shav al gili arayis al gasus ruach v'al agezel. Now on this list of seven things, you find Masha Nigi Yodim Boim Al Tzoros Ayin. You even find Tzoros Ayin here. Now, we just finished saying that the punishment for Tzoros Ayin is Nigi Batim. And now we're saying that amongst the various sins that generate Tzoras in the goof, I'm not talking about Tzoras HaBayis, one of them is Tzoras HaAyin. Okay, fine. But Maizu, Mida Keneged Mida, Mida Bemida, the Rameh Simcha L'shitaso, that the entire process of Tara, from the moment that he contracts the tumor, is all a purification process on a spiritual level, on a moral level, as a Mida Bemida. I understand in the case of Nigei Batim, if you are Tzar Ayin, we're going to break down your house after it's full of Negoim. We're going to take out your Kalim so everybody could see that you were full of baloney when you said you didn't have these Kalim. All that makes sense. But if Tzar's Ayin, maybe when it reaches a more serious proportion, will be punished through Nigei Haguf, where do we see anywhere in the parasha of Nigei Haguf that the purification process in some way is appropriate for the crime of Tzoros Ayin? Says Rav Meir Simcha, Nira, did Tzoros Ayin goreim sheyarchaku mimenu b'nei Adam, that people stay far away from him because he's a Tzar Ayin. You don't want to get close to such a person. Sholayav chevras ha'anoshi. And he gives an example. I'll get back to those few words in just a second. Ukmo sha'amru b'ksubas, the Gemara says in Masech b'ksubas, ha'noder ishto shelo tashil, if he imposes a vow on his wife that she should not lend out anything, yotzi, he's really ruining her reputation. Nobody's going to want to stay near her. And therefore he has to give a get. It's grounds for divorce because he prevented her from giving and lending objects in the house. And the Gemara says the reverse is also true, that if she takes a neder that and she doesn't allow him to share things, then he has a right to divorce her because she's ruining his reputation. So what's going on over here? This man is pushing people away from him. He's not willing to share things with him. He's a tzar ayin. Lachain, I'm going to prove to you. Onesh, you look at the punishment and the Tara process. Lios mitzora v'leishev badad. He's got to sit in isolation. Shelo yeshvu. No one's allowed to be with him. Not even shar tmeim. There are other mitzorah, but each one has to be isolated. V'kan, the echad min advarim shanagoyim poim aleim utzoros ayin. And Asi Shapir, now he says, I can answer a question. The Amru B'yuma Daf Mem Aleph, the Ashir, Shehevi Karban Ani, Yatsa. So there are many, many different karbanos that are relative to your financial situation. So if you're rich, then you bring this karban. If you're not, you bring a different karban. And the Gemara is the principle that if an Ashir, rich person, brought the karban of an Ani, he was stingy about it. He could have afforded the ideal carbon, yatsa. But the evid, we don't bring another carbon. But the Gemara says in Yuma, levad mi mitzora, with the exception of a mitzora. So Meir Simcha wants to know, why should mitzora be different than the general rule that applies universally, that usher shavi carbon ani yatsa? He says no. The imhu asher shavi carbon ani lo yatsa mishum sha onsho, the entire purpose of his bringing the carbon is to punish him, mishum shu tzar ayin. And if he's such a tzar ayin that he doesn't want to bring the carbon that he could afford, and he wants to get away cheap, is adayin lo shav micheto. He hasn't corrected his sin, he hasn't rectified his sin, and therefore, we cannot accept his carbon. Echu yiskaper. How could he achieve a kapara for with a carbon asher by bringing a carbon ani? He's being punished because he's a tzarayin, and now he wants to be miskaper and be a tzarayin, a dayin omeid bimardo. He asks it as a rhetorical question. He still is going on with his sin. So my friends, there is a four-word phrase here that caught my eye in the Meshech Chochma. Now, you know, sometimes, you know, you see a Rishon, my Rebbe used to always teach us, every word is important. But you see an Achron, okay, you don't understand a couple extra words. But here in the case of the Meshech Chochma, I'm absolutely amazed by four words that he writes here. And I'll read them to you again. In describing the Tzar Ayin, he writes, Shelo Yohav Chevras Ha'enoshi. I know Rabbi Aaron is here today, so I want to mention that this is a language that I think would be so appropriate for Rav Kook. I mean, I could close my eyes. Again, I don't know the history if Meshech Chochma had any close relationship to Rav Kook, but it sounds to me like this is something that would jump out of the pages of the Ein Riyah. Shelo Yohav Chevras Ha'enoshi, which means that this individual, who's going to be struck with saras, if you want to describe him, and get back to the root of the problem, he doesn't like social contact. He's like a Robinson Crusoe. Chevras Anoshi doesn't excite him. He lives in his own world. He's totally withdrawn. He's isolated. Now, it's interesting. Why does this catch my eye? Because I would have said, all right, Tzoros Ayin. You know what? He has an obligation, a chiyuv, of lending his objects, of helping another human being, caring for someone else. All that would have made sense to me. And there's no question that that's what Meir Simcha has in mind. But now Meir Simcha adds something else. Almost a personality description. He almost categorizes this individual. Forget about his actions or the lack of actions. He doesn't give, he doesn't care, he doesn't share, he's not magnanimous, he's not careful about sharing with others. But Rav Meir Simcha says, I want to describe this individual. He's a person, says Rav Meir Simcha, Shelo Yehav Cheras Hanoshi. He doesn't appreciate interaction with other people. As if I would flip it around, Rav Meir Simcha is implying that the ideal Jew is someone who's Yehav Cheras Hanoshi. He loves to be with people. He loves to interact with people. He doesn't want to be alone. But a person who loves to be alone, and he doesn't love Cheras Hanoshi, we can imagine what's going to happen. But why did Rav Meir Simcha emphasize this? And I think the answer is he wants to get back to the root of the problem. You know what his punishment is? His punishment is going to be Yeshev Badad. Shelo Yeshev Afilim Shar Tmeim. He's completely isolated. He's quarantined. And Rabosai, I don't know, and I say this with a little bit of an emotional feeling, I don't know if it's purely coincidental that this is being this is being given to us on this Shabbos of Parshas Mitzora, when so many of us are in Badad Yeshev. And I can tell you about myself that I am starting my 7th week of Badad Yeshev. My 7th week. And I begin to feel that it's no coincidence that I'm learning Parshas Mitzora and the punishment of Badad Yeshev, says Rav Simcha, because lo yehav cheras hanoshi. And maybe the message is that you have to be an oev cheras hanoshi. That the Torah, in its ideal ethical personality, sees someone who loves to be with others. And maybe, just maybe, we are a little bit guilty, or at least we're not filling our full, perfect obligation